Good morning. I call this meeting to order. Would those of you who care to join us for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone who would like to come forward, and Ms. Brenda, come on forward for the first person. And this would be for anything not on today's agenda or anything else that we want to talk about.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sanders. I will take one today. We have a number of folks that want to visit. I wanted to take the opportunity, I'm covering today's meeting for Dustin, who's away from the office. And I brought with me today Allie Wilkes, who is our new workforce development coordinator. So Allie will be assisting in our workforce efforts, of which you support so strongly. She'll be leading our efforts really with K-12 engagement, college relations, our internship programming, and leadership, which is really something we brought over from the chamber side to be part of the workforce program, knowing how important that is for our companies from a retention standpoint. She'll be serving as a liaison also to the people program. So any questions you might have moving forward, make sure you direct them to me, and I'll complete my comments now.
Okay, thank you. Allie, would you like to stand up at least? So please.
Hi.
We will get to know you later. I apologize.
Yes, no
problem. We've got a big topic.
Absolutely.
So we want to get to know you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, we are now ready for the discussion and consideration of financial support in the amount of $3 million toward the construction of a $48 million Healthy Life Center proposed for the City of Ames, and a commitment to provide an ongoing operating subsidy of $200,000 per year. And Deb Childroth, our Director of External Operations, will begin. Thank you.
Good morning, Board. I'm going to ask Nancy Carroll to come up and help put through the handful of slides while I briefly address them.
Welcome to our new video system. We're all still learning.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So these slides are going to look very familiar to you, as the slides that have been included in previous PowerPoint presentations about the Healthy Life Center. So the next slide has the collaboration partners that have been involved in meeting part of the steering committee since February of 2016. So the City of Ames, Mary Greeley, Hartman Senior Services, Iowa State University, DMAC, and Fulton County. This next slide is the purpose statement that the steering committee reviews prior to every meeting that we have, and I just want to share that briefly with you. And this was something that was also commented on during the January 31st public meeting. So the purpose is to provide a one-of-a-kind center that makes the lifelong goal of healthy living accessible and enjoyable to people of all ages and socioeconomic status. So that's what kind of sets this concept apart from other kinds of recreational kinds of facilities that have been discussed in and around the county. The next slide talks about the key drivers that support a healthy life center. Again, this is very familiar to you. And I want to focus a little bit on tackling the staggering health statistics, because as a steering committee, these are things that we've learned as going through the due diligence part of looking at a healthy life center concept. So the obesity rate, where Iowa ranks in that nationally, the percentage of adults that live with a chronic disease, baby boomers and having some form of dementia, and then in 2018, this is a newer statistic from Mary Greeley, 120 people were treated for a heart attack, 84% were from Story County. The cost of a minor heart attack is roughly $75,000 per person, so that would total to be about $6.3 million when you factor in the 84%. So just putting some figures together in addressing chronic disease and how that affects folks here in Story County. I want to back up just 1 second, Nancy, too. And you see that circular, the education, applied student learning. Again, this has kind of been the symbol that the Healthy Life Center has been using throughout its presentation. And ISU and DMAC are very key in that education and applied student learning within the concept. So that's a major role that they will have within the Healthy Life Center. Public input. The steering committee, as I mentioned before, has done its due diligence by looking at the philanthropic campaign, having community meetings, group meetings, media presentations, and over 1,500 people have been touched by these different ways of communication. And I think it's very important to point out for today's discussion the conversations that have occurred with public officials throughout Story County, which involve individuals at the city level in Nevada, Huxley, Story City, and the Gilbert School District. And the feedback from those public officials are saying that they want to continue offering locally their sports leagues, their fitness classes, but see that residents could appreciate an access to a year-round center, aquatic center, indoor playground, participation kitchen, all these things that the Healthy Life Center concept has been discussing, but that these local communities don't have the funds to incur those capital or ongoing operational expenses. And just a quote from Mayor Brett Barker from the City of Nevada, there are countless possibilities for collaboration and shared programming between the City of Nevada and the Healthy Life Center. Such a facility would benefit Nevada residents in Fort Allen, Story County. So that's a quote that you have seen and heard before. The benefits for Story County residents, if the county authorizes funds, Story County residents would pay the same user fees as Ames residents at a reduction of about 25%. There would be this inclusivity, feeling everybody feeling welcome no matter what their socioeconomic status would be. Scholarships are going to be available through an endowment, and the city has experience with those scholarships through their community center and the aquatic center, so they're familiar with how that process could work. It's an amenity that would help and attract and retain Story County workforce. It could serve as a regional hub with programmatic offerings throughout the county, so staff could be deployed to different communities in the county to offer classes in those respective communities. Capital dollars would not be spent to construct year-round pools in Nevada, Gilbert, Huxley, et cetera. And overall, it would create a healthier workforce, which reduces healthcare costs. Again, another familiar slide, the challenge that's before us. All entities since the January 31st meeting have been meeting to talk about authorizing funds and building on the assumption that these entities will authorize the dollars. You have before you what that the total project costs are and suggested revenue that these entities are considering. The next slide is the operational budget. Again, everything is the same on that particular slide as previous presentations. The request for Story County. Again, it's the $3 million for capital and $200,000 annually for the operational costs. And RDG, who did the planning study, looked at 330,000 visits annually, estimating 57% of the folks would come from Ames, 30% from the secondary, service area, and then outside that secondary service area would be the 13% from Eastern Missouri County, from the smaller counties. There's anything different towards the bottom there. And next slide is our ending slide. It's kind of a concept of what the building may look like. And I will close my portion of this at this point in time and would have the rest of the steering committee members be available for any questions that the board may have.
Thank you. We're going to move to Ethan Anderson, our county attorney now. I had asked him just to get some clarification on about ability to contribute to this particular project. And Ethan is speaking now because Ethan then has to go to Des Moines for a hearing this afternoon. We're trying to get everybody in and out and where they need to be in the appropriate time. Good morning, Ethan.
Yeah, good morning. I don't have a slideshow, but like you said, I was asked to look into the, whether I'd be permissible to fund this. I think looking into doing some research, it's certainly permissible under the public purpose doctrine as recognized by the Iowa Constitution. And so as long as the board is prepared to make a finding or a record that there's a public purpose for this, then it's certainly permissible. I reference a case here in research I found, Fleming versus Hull, an attorney general opinion, discussed that the General Assembly has given counties statutory authority to provide, preserve, improve the public welfare, comfort, and convenience, as well as public health. And this includes a regional wellness center that's promoting good health. So yeah, I think it's certainly permissible.
Okay. Thank you for that. Board, do you have any questions for Ethan?
What kind of a legal document would we need to have? 2080 agreement? Or what would you...
No, I think just a finding on the record here by the board that it promotes public health and public good. And that would be deficient because the legal challenge would come that it was for a private purpose. And I think with the resources and research put in here that it's not, that'd be a hard hurdle or bar for someone to meet to say that it was for a private purpose. Because every project like this potentially has a private person or a private entity that might benefit. But it has to be exclusively for a private person or a private entity. And in this case, that argument would be very challenging to make. No, I don't think it's going to be necessary to contribute money to the construction or purchase of this project.
What about if we would want to be on the governing board or would try to negotiate for that? The reason I'm asking this is it's a little complicated from what I could gather through everything I went through this weekend. The city of Aiken will not own the land. Iowa State will own the land, correct? I saw $1 if Iowa State will rent for $1. Is that where the committee is now headed?
What's your question? I'm sorry.
The question is, originally it had been purchasing the land from Iowa State, but I saw in going through the last presentation information that instead the land would be rented for $1 from Iowa State. So Iowa State would still own the land, correct?
Well, we haven't finalized that yet. We've done it both ways, but...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you, Shelley. Steve, I'm sorry to spend so much time in front of the microphone. I just assumed you carried one with you.
Just the microphone.
So, okay.
I don't think we've finalized the arrangement with the president of the university yet, but there's certainly two ways to go, to purchase it outright or a long-term lease. Most of our arrangements have long-term leases, which allows for us to renew after a certain period of time. So I can't say we've finalized it, but if I had to guess, it probably will be a land lease.
Okay.
But it has been finalized.
Okay. So back to then we'd have Iowa State with the land, the city of Ames with the life center, and then the city of Ames would own it, but yet if the county would want to be in some kind of participate in the governing of it, would we need a 2080?
I certainly think that might be a prudent approach to have a 2080 recognize certain board of director creating a governing board, sure, that'd be beneficial.
Okay.
I don't have any heartburn with the city of Ames or us in university owning and operating the facility in Story County contributing to it. That doesn't concern me.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you once again for making yourself available. Thank you, Steve, for getting us what probably will be the first in a couple of different things. So at that point, with Ethan now being kind of free here, I would invite input from the members of the public, which I know is a little different than we normally do, but before then, when everyone has provided that, then I would turn to the board for clarifying questions for everyone. And if that is acceptable to the board, the point I'm trying to do here is make sure that members of the public who are not affiliated with the planning, the steering committee, or the effort and promotion of it should get an opportunity to speak. That's what I'm trying to do. So as I see here, Paula Tom, and I'm going to ask that you keep your remarks just 2 minutes.
You mean you can't hear me?
Go ahead.
As a longtime Nevada resident, with a husband that attended Heartland Adult Day Center, and now as a member of Heartland's Board of Directors, I have experienced the impact and value that certain regional services can play. Other communities within Story County do not have the number of needed participants to operate an adult day center, nor could they afford the ongoing operational costs. However, when we contribute, when we combine our collective needs, Heartland's location and aims, it provides an economical answer to the countywide service. Similarly, with the proposed Healthy Life Center, I believe the residents of Nevada, Gilbert, Huxley, and other communities beyond cannot be expected to find the fiscal resources to build year-round warm water pools, indoor playgrounds, and participation kitchens. As a county resident, we need and want access to these types of important lifelong wellness amenities. I have 3 grandchildren that live in Nevada. I assure you that either their parents or I would frequently bring them to the Healthy Life Center and celebrate that the Board of Supervisors has a vision to view the Healthy Life Center as a countywide resource. And as an older adult that wants to continue to be active and age well, I will be an active user of the Healthy Life Center, particularly the warm water pool, the walking track, and the participation kitchen. If Don was sitting up there as a supervisor today, I would like to believe that he would be supporting $3 million and $200 ongoing.
Thank you, Paula. Roxanne Thompson.
I timed this with my husband, and I was at 5 minutes.
Roxanne, please say your name and where you're from.
I'm sorry. I'm Roxanne Thompson. I'm from Ames, and I have some notes and glasses with my aging. First, I want to thank you, Sweetie, for doing this very difficult job of trying to keep all of us happy all the time, and your 6-page agenda today doing so. My husband and I moved from Humboldt to Ames in Story County in 1993 when I was offered a position with the Iowa Department of Human Services to be the county director for Story County. I continued in that position for many years, and then the department restructured, and Ames became the Ames service area, actually Story County and Ames, and we had 12 counties, and so I kind of moved to the social work side. So that's my experience. I retired in 8 after 5 years. In all due respect, and I do mean this, it's just so hard to believe that a community and county the size of Ames and Story County does not have a facility such as the Healthy Life Center. I love the Parks and Rec, and I use it all the time as much as I can, but it's just without a moment. When we lived in Humboldt, we ran our kids to Fort Dodge, to the Y, and when they moved here, they could use the Iowa State facility, pretty much lived by our home, but then as the population increased, that's not available. And I just wanted, speaking of Humboldt, they just, an independent business person in his wife, Joshua, to pay to build a 70,000 square foot facility, and now all the residents can use it.
and so I meet them there with Beth, and when they come in, I'm like, so what you guys do today? And it's, I think it's usually the guys, well, we went over to Y to work out, went over to Bloom to work out at the Y, and I'm thinking, I just blows my mind that it's almost embarrassing to go back over there and we don't have a facility similar to that. I mean, all the difference between the size of those counties and our counties. Just a little bit about myself. I won't bore you with that. But basically, we walk. My husband and I try to walk every day. And it's cool to walk. We prefer to walk outside sometimes like this. And in the summer when it's 95 degrees, feels like that's not the best thing to do. So we try to find a place to walk indoors. The fitness centers have, I mean, it's $13 a year to belong, but we only use it 6 months, so that's not an option. We're members of the Iowa State Alumni. We walk at the gym, but that's $80 a month between us, and then it's hard to get parking, so that's one option. As a last resort, we walk at the mall. And that's, you know, if you get there before the mall opens, it's like the second senior center. It's like, oh, hi. Anyway, speed it up. Okay. So, but my main concern is, you know, through my 35 years at CHS, it was serving low-income families, about 50,000 kids. I checked, and we have about 4,000 people in Surrey County on food assistance and medical assistance. And, you know, there's just no place. If their kids aren't involved in the school or then there's no place for them to work out. So such a facility, I've been assured that no family or child will be turned away from the facility. And I know we have a Boys and Girls Club at Jeffrey Winston. I have 1 minute. So anyway, the reason zero. Okay. So my main concern is that we need resources for our lower income families. We do not want to exclude them. We don't want to, you know, leave them aside as others moving forward. So that's my main concern.
Thank you. Ann, did you fill out a card?
For obvious reasons.
Oh, damn, you're right. Okay, card. So, Ann, I do have some other people here. Winnie Gleason is, all right, so, and then we'll go with you, and I think that takes care of everybody who's not on the board or has been an advocate who spoke.
Okay. So I am on the board. Sorry. I must have not filled out my card.
Right. So then, Ann is right. Ann is good. Okay. All right.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Supervisor Olson, members of the board. I'm here today as a resident of Ames and Story County. And I say that because I'm looking
in. What's your name?
Ann Kinzel, 720 Duff, Ames.
Thanks, Ann.
As a resident of Ames and Story County, I'm looking to my elected representatives, both you as the Board of Supervisors and the Ames City Council, to provide some leadership in this area. There are two truisms that I want to discuss today briefly. One is that public dollars are always scarce, and public health is an ever-changing concept. So I dare say that when the Story County Board of Supervisors was formed, the primary issues in public health were clean water and the ability to be free of disease from waters that didn't meet the standards that we know today, from sewage, etc. And that was certainly in the 19th century. In the 20th century, public health focused on issues of contagion and contagious disease. Public dollars were spent extensively to solve those issues. Today, we don't suffer very much at all from issues of infectious disease and dirty water. What we do suffer from is the scourge of obesity, chronic disease, chronic loneliness, that in fact terribly influence people's health outcomes. And that's in Ames, in Story County, in Iowa, and in the United States. Public dollars are scarce, but this country, this county, has always spent public dollars for the betterment of our public health. I think the Healthy Life Center is a 21st century approach to solving the public health challenges that we have today. And for those reasons, I hope you'll support it.
Thank you. Okay, so I believe I've taken care of everyone of what we consider the general public, although Donna, I saw you stand up. Yeah, start to stand up.
We were to help you.
Okay, all right, well, thank you. All right, now I do have the cards from people who are on the board, and then why don't we go ahead and start with Winnie, and then Tim, you're on a different board, correct?
Same board,
okay.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I'm Winnie Eason. I live in Maine. And I'm a Iowa resident for more than 30 years. I'm the current board president of Heartland Senior Services, and I'm here today representing our board of directors as we encourage you to support the funding request of $3 million and $200,000 annually. Serving on Heartland's board, we've become keenly aware of how important it is for the city and the county to pool their fiscal resources to ensure residents in Ames and Story County have, have equal access to needed health and wellness offerings. The Heartland Adult Day Center, serving all of Story County, is one of the best proven examples as to why we believe you should invest in county resources into the Healthy Life Center. The Healthy Life Center will serve residents countywide as the Heartland Senior Services in a fiscally responsible way, providing indoor warm water, pool, and playgrounds, and a participation kitchen. Facilities such as those would be very unlikely to ever be constructed or maintained in other Story County smaller communities. The amenities offered with the Healthy Life Center are not only needed in support of Ames residents, but people throughout Story County that also want to be active socially and physically and healthy. I would just like to add, as a resident, I'm a recent retired from Fox Engineering in Ames, and probably of the 40-some people that work at Fox Engineering, I counted up 8 to 9 of them live in smaller communities throughout Story County. We are right in the same building as 24-hour fitness, but most people can't afford even that to go down to exercise at lunch. And there's a very much of a need of Fox Engineering, as many other companies and small companies are trying to push wellness and provide such things, and Fox does those things, but they have one more possible way and place for people to take their families and themselves during the work day would be really important.
Thank you. Then, Tim, we'll go ahead and stay with the Heartland Board.
Good morning. My name is Tim Tryon, and I live in Story City. As a resident of Story City and the father of 3 grown children, I wish to support the funding request of $3.2 million to help ensure the Healthy Life Center becomes a reality. We love being in one of the smaller communities in Story County. However, our tax base does not allow for the construction of some of the amenities included within the Healthy Life Center. We desire access to these services because they are important to ensuring we maintain healthy lifestyles year-round. When my kids were young, we would have utilized the Healthy Life Center regularly, particularly during the school year, and when finding healthy and fun things to do were difficult. My kids would have been active users of the indoor playground and pool for sure. Now, being in my 50s, my wife and I would buy the Healthy Life Center for different reasons. We need access to a warm water pool, us and others expand our ability to learn how to cook healthy, heart-sizing meals into our later years. Your leadership in viewing this facility as a regional provider of wellness offerings is needed for the residents you represent from throughout the area of nourishment. We support this dynamic collaborative proposal. And one quick thing that I would say, I see it in a few different fronts. I've lived in Story County past 25 years, never in Ames, so in Story County. Story City does have a rec center. This serves a different purpose than the rec center. I haven't heard anything negative in town as far as supporting the public. I moved from Marshalltown to the beautiful YMCA. I utilized that quite a bit right out of college, and it was really a community place. You know, people, everybody. Another thing that I see with this is my mom is approaching 80. She lives just outside of Ames in Boone County. There are times recently when there was some rehab needed for some broken bones falling on ice. This is a perfect place for someone to be able to come in January.
Thank you. Anybody else here from the Heartland Board? Okay. No, I think then we're down to, I believe, the last three speakers. The last three speakers are signed up. Dave Tucker, Jen Barron, and Warren Madden are all there, kind of on the steering committee or supporters. So, Dave, just go ahead. You're kind of regular there.
Good morning. My name is Dave Tucker. I'm the Senior Vice President of Product Development for Kiva Research Park. A large part of my job.
Dave, you're from what?
I live in Ames.
Okay.
A large portion of my job is recruiting people to move to Iowa, specifically to Story County. We've recruited many to move here, many young families. A majority of them end up moving to Ankeny or Des Moines when they come because of the amenities, often is the case. I envision recruiting visits where I bring young families here, and one of the first places I take them is the Healthy Life Center. And we show them, this is where you're going to go, and you're going to take your kids. This is where they're going to hang out with your grandparents. This is the reason we are a community where you want to live in an area of the state where you want to bring your family.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Lauren, it's okay with you all.
Oh,
that's okay. Come on. I was
going to
let Jan go first.
No, she's
okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. You can go last, Lauren. Okay?
Sure.
Barron, I live in Ames. I appreciate that new supervisors have a very difficult decision to make, and we thank you for the time that you've invested in considering this and allowing us to come. We have had more than 70 foster teenage kids, and one of the realities of their lives in the 80s, the 90s, and even into 2000, and we had a few, was they were not on athletic teams. There weren't many other opportunities for recreation, and they were from throughout the county, not just Ames. So I see the Healthy Life Center as being an important kind of social hub in addition to recreation and interrelationship type opportunity. I also avail of the city recreation opportunities, and I observed in playing badminton that people from throughout the county come and use the weights, the machines that are there, and we have badminton players from throughout the county who come. It's not just Ames. Another draw for recreation, such as gyms offer, is that people who have been born other than in the United States come and play. And that has been an important socialization opportunity to help them to feel integrated into the community. And I think as we become more international in nature, that is an important thing. Just yesterday, I was downtown, and I was talking to a young woman who works downtown, and she was complaining. She said, "We live in Nevada. I don't know why we have to pay more to use the city recreation opportunity." She plays volleyball, and there are people from all over the county who come to play volleyball, for example. And she further said that the gym is so hard to schedule that her husband's volleyball team starts at 9:30. They're scheduled sometimes, so it lasts late into the evening. We are also square dancers, and we dance at a school in Gilbert and have lessons there. It would be preferable if we could have lessons in Ames, and there just has not been a place for that and the Healthy Life Center would provide that. Thank you. I see you eyeing the clock.
Thank you.
Yes.
Warren. First, we'll need your name and where you live.
Warren Madden, 2850 Oakwood Road, Ames, Iowa. Thank you for considering this project. As one of the co-chairs of the fundraising group, we've been working on this. We appeared in front of you several months ago. We certainly are continuing to work on the fundraising side. We're feeling fairly good about where we are with our $6 million plus of private fundraising. I have been involved in this project along with some of the others since its beginning. I was a senior vice president for business and finance at Iowa State when this started. Retired about 2 years ago, Bev and I agreed to be part of the fundraising team because we think this is important. The six entities that are cooperating are developing facilities and programs that are really needed in the county, and they will serve all the residents of Story County. But one of the areas that no one has talked too much about, and I view this as an investment more than an amenity. We had the opportunity to visit Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic has a facility that's been in operation since the early 2000s. They have found that the kind of programs that this facility will provide our community have had a major impact on the quality of life and well-being of Rochester citizens. For example, they have found that people that use this facility about twice a week, and it's available to all the residents of Rochester, not just the employees of the Mayo Clinic, they lowered their health care costs by about a third. That's a significant savings. In my background at Iowa State and with the public records we have, Iowa State's currently spending $40 million a year on health care insurance premiums for its employees. We may not get to the third that the Mayo Clinic experience demonstrates, but even if you can get a 5 or 10% reduction in those costs, it's a significant savings. And that would be true for almost all of the other organizations and employers in the community. So we view this as an investment in the well-being of the residents of Story County. And I would hope you would consider this seriously. Others have talked about the programs in it, real needs. We've been pleased that the Fairway organization is going to make a significant commitment. They're particularly interested in the health and nutrition component of the facility, certainly the warm water pool and Heartland Senior Service programs that have already been mentioned. So we would hope you would consider this seriously. It will benefit all of the residents of Story County, and we know we can move forward with the kind of project that we're all hoping will benefit. Thank you.
I'd like to turn back to the board, bring it to the board, and ask if the board has any questions of anyone who has spoken so far or of the steering committee members that are here who are ready to provide any additional information that we have.
I was going to ask, I just yesterday I received planning document that I requested a while back. I did not get a chance to look at that yet, but I think there's some answers to some questions I had in there. Steve, were you going to bring hard copies to the board members today, or did I misunderstand you?
I'm sorry, give it a hard copy.
Yeah.
You have some?
Yeah.
Of the.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a good copy right now?
No, but I need to have some time to review it.
Okay, so I'm asking a follow-up question then. Are you prepared to make a decision, do you feel?
I don't feel that I am. I think there's some more information I want to look at. I'm also very concerned about House Senate Bill 165, which several of you may have heard about. That would severely limit local government revenue generating abilities if it's passed by the legislature this year. I do understand it's a ways and means bill, so it's not, it could happen any time. Final deadlines do not apply, and I think that's got larger implications little bit of money to this project, so I'm not the first to take it. So,
I'm going to turn to Supervisor Sanders, and you are known for numbers. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts related to the number that you'd like to share it with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm prepared for us to make a decision to move on. I believe we ought to support this. I think it is an outstanding demonstration of what can happen. Multiple groups come together and put aside any of their specific vested interests and try to build a program that's good for the whole. So I believe strongly that at the county we have to view this a couple different ways, but our first view ought to be through the lens of Heartland Senior Services, which is such a key component for all of Story County, a key service provider that is. And I've got to start by saying thank you to the City of Ames that Heartland has the facility they have, but it's a facility that's not usable for what we need to provide for Heartland. And so our conversation, I don't believe, is a yes or no answer, because ultimately something has got to happen with at least Heartland. And then when you include the realities of a county our size without any real access to a warm water basin, I think that needs to be one of our concerns. And so I'm prepared with a proposal for how we would fund this rather than just talking about whether we're going to fund it.
If you don't mind, I'd like to say a few things and then come on back to your numbers proposal. I agree Heartland needs a new building. How we go about that is a question, is a big question. I also agree that the concept is wonderful, and I like it. I think it's a wonderful vision. I am concerned about the money, about the financial future, especially once again related to what the legislature might do to not only us, but the city and everyone, all of our counties. The bill, House Bill 165, which we'll discuss more in depth later, really changes how counties and cities are able to levy and meet their needs. So I did decide that to open my mind to try and find a way for support. And so I did look at the Heartland situation. And I went and took a look at the square footage that you would be moving into and the cost per square footage. And it looks like for net, about $22 per square foot. You include the 30%, roughly 10,000 square feet Heartland in the beginning in there for growth. And that brings it down to about $15 a square foot. And from what information I could find on the internet, that seems to be a reasonable amount of money for new facilities, especially build out to order for rent. So the cost there that I could justify in my mind, and then my next step is to figure out how much would we contribute for if Heartland were building a standalone building. Because in the past, the Board of Supervisors in the county has not contributed to the building of new facilities for human service agencies. However, then I know we need a warm water pool. So I'm right in line with Supervisor Sanders there. And then accommodating that other $18 million, where do we go from there? So I would like now to hear Supervisor Sanders' proposal, given my great angst over the fiscal side. Supervisor Sanders.
I think the first thing I would say about HSB 165 is if that were to get enacted this year, and I'll look at Steve, I mean that would multiple problems with that bill, and I'm one of those that I tend to believe that something like that doesn't get through the first time, but we've got to operate on the basis that it could. That seems to penalize those entities like Ames and like Story County that have done a really fiscally responsible job with their dollars, and instead benefits those that are just maxing everything out all the time. So I think it's a terrible study bill, and really kind of is the final death nail in the false notion of home rule. But we'll talk more about that later. I believe that the way we can fund this, I believe that it should be $3 million. I believe that it ought to be a maximum of $200,000 a year for the operating deficit, but that it ought to be tied to something, specifically usage. And if we want to accept the number that say roughly 30% of the usage will come from Story County residents who don't reside in Ames, I could live with a sliding scale of operational deficit from 30% of actual deficit up to $200,000, but not beyond $200,000. The way I would suggest we fund the $3 million would be $1 million a year over 3 years, and we do it just like we, more just like the process we went through with DESCA. And we run it through our urban renewal area. It is an appropriate use of those kind of funds. So what I'm suggesting is that in 20 we would take $1 million and put in. In 21 we do $1 million, and in 22 we would put $1 million in as more of those towers ramp up their evaluation. It is an affordable way to, or reasonably affordable way to do that if we deem that this is a priority. So in a nutshell, that's how I get to the $3 million. And then my 200 is not a hard and fast 200. It's a up to 200, but based on usage.
When I came to the county in 2002, one of the first things I heard was the problem on affordable housing. And I'm sitting here 17 years later, and I still haven't seen the needle really move on affordable housing. And that same money that could be used out of the urban renewal districts, out of those wind farms, could be used for affordable housing. So it's very difficult for me to look at pulling that much money out of the wind farm and putting it towards this project. I would look at a reduced amount of money on pulled out that way, and I would like all three of us to be able to have that conversation well informed. And I heard from Supervisor Merkin, maybe she wasn't ready to have this conversation, but I am responding to the proposal. So priorities, I think, are important for all of us. And so looking at $3 million coming out over 3 years out of the TIF fund, we put out the Tedesco Environmental Learning Center. That is a $4 million project that we've already put in here for recreation. It happens to be outdoor recreation, the sterile recreation project. So my philosophy about the urban renewal funds coming from the wind farms in general is that there needs to be a point where I think we honor the true concept when urban renewal was really started and urban revitalization, in that we improved property or so that if they would generate tax dollars to then improve more property. So that's a difference in philosophy on the use there. So I would like to look at least, if we're looking at seriously using the wind farm money, that we look at maybe half of that $3 million. That still would be more than we had put into any other project that would be that type of combination of supporting a social agency with a new building and supporting a recreational need that will soon disappear from the county when the municipal school closes. The subsidy amount of the $200,000 equates, if we look at this year's budget, it equates to between 4 and 5 cents increase in the supplemental general fund taxes.
Well, you couldn't use supplemental.
But my point is that $200,000 for our budget, because it's smaller than the city of Ames, that's the equivalent of a 4 to 5 cent increase that we would have to do in our levy to keep all of our services going now. And we do fund a lot of services for all of the county, all residents in and out of Ames. So that's my other concern, and that's so I would feel more comfortable taking on $100,000 of that, given where I just know that equates as in a levy increase that would have to be paid. So those are there. Supervisor Merkin, any thoughts so far beyond not being ready?
Just looking at all the things we have on our plate right now, looking at the interoperability for our first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, looking at all the other things that are coming up, and I'm just, and probably because I'm newer on the board, I look at this tough steady bill 165, it makes me extremely nervous. I do think this is an incredibly good project. I wish that we knew more about what the legislature is going to do, but the reality is we don't. We're not going to know what the legislature is going to do until the legislature is done. And that can be, that can even be a special session. So I just, I'm very sorry about the timing. I do have some other concerns, and I wish I had seen you set a full report earlier, but there.
Do we need a motion? I think you guys are being really, really clear. I'm glad to make a motion, but I guess I would ask you guys who have put the last 2.5-3 years in, do you think it's beneficial for a motion? You've heard our conversation.
Steve Shanker, 4305, Silver Spring, Square County. You're asking a motion. We're going around to the funding partners now, and you saw the Deb showed you the one slide. We have about $11.9 million gap now, assuming everybody will put in what we showed them on the slide. So the reason we need a motion is we need to know what the funding partners are willing to put in. We're actually going around asking the partners for more money because we have to fill the gap. So if that happens, then we will proceed with developing agreements, 2080 agreements with. It would be probably with Iowa State, with the we'd have to with Mary Greeley, and also with you all. We'll have a separate agreement with the department. So we do need a motion because we know how much money they have. This would be it'll have a significant impact if we come away with less money than we're showing right now. Because again, we're actually looking for more money. I understand your position. I'm under the same position because. Do you know how devastating with us if we had to live just on growth? I mean, under this proposal alone, the city would put in another $400,000 of operating costs just for this. We probably wouldn't be able to abide by that law either. I'm hoping that will be resolved either way before we enter into final agreements with the governmental entity. I hope it'll move quickly. I hope it's defeated. We'll go into a whole bunch of information about that. So by you taking the move, if you take the move to abide by what we showed here, I don't think we're going to necessarily lock you into a contract, sign a contract, perhaps we'll clarify it. So hopefully that will be in the next few weeks. But I'd be just skittish about that too, I understand. I still think you need to look at this as an investment. You know, all those things you talk about, I deal with this all the time. How are you going to pay for those things? Affordable housing? Human services, those are not going to stay where they are now. They're not going to be stagnant. In the years to come, you're going to have to generate more money to pay all for all those great services. Well, how do you do it in government? You need to generate additional property tax. And how do you do that? You've got to create jobs. You've got to attract people. You have to have amenities there so people want to come here. We have to have great places for recreation, great health care, great secondary and primary school districts, low crime rates, all the things Story County is known for. We've got to keep that up. So we're asking for an investment here. It's not a transaction of dollar for dollar. I understand that. And if your rates have to go up, over 60% of the people will be paying for it. I think, Lord, you said Ames people will be paying for it twice. We're going to make that known to people. Because we're looking to be a large bond issue right now. It's going to have to go up. You can see what the gap has to be. You know, 11.9, if you're into the 3 and 200,000, we're going to have to see if we can cut some of the square footage without jeopardizing the basis for the whole philosophy of the whole building. And I don't think there's much we can cut there. So it's going to have to go back to the city council for the public, a larger bond issue. And that's going to cost people money. That's the ultimate check. I agree with what Rick's saying on, I think to keep it easy, and I think you are good stewards of your funds too, that you don't want to just have an unlimited number of, you don't want to pay $200,000 if we're able to manage this facility and reduce that deficit below the $673,000. And I think what's being proposed by Rick, we haven't talked to the other funding partners, specifically Heartland and Mary Greeley, but I think they'd go along with it. In other words, if the numbers come out less, you would pay 30% of that lower number. If it goes up higher than that number, you'll be capped at $200,000. So we can cap the upside, you take advantage of the downside. Pretty good deal.
So my thought about $1.5 million to come out of the Urban Renewal Fund,
right.
So that would be, I guess, my partial compromise here, and $100,000 of the deficit is not workable, you think, for the other groups. So then we would be out if that ruler was set.
We'd have to go back and talk to them. And it would be devastating to us, I think, because we have a big gap. We have a big gap before you reduce your amount.
So my concern this morning, Steve, is, and so I'm ready to make a motion, but it feels like that motion is either going to die for lack of a second or it's going to get voted down. And my fear in making the motion and having either of those things occur is right now, Linda has asked for some time to review some things. Right now it sounds like we're moving ahead with you guys get to go and come back at some time in a later date and make the ask again and maybe appealing change goes forward. My fear is if I make the motion right now and either it dies for lack of a second or it gets voted down, now we send a really, really strong message that really your first formal ask is a no. And the only reason I'm not making the motion is I don't want to cause you guys more problems than you've got to get this done. So I'm just looking for some guidance. Again, I'm glad to make the motion. I just get a very distinct impression that it's not going.
Well, if you need more time, I think we're trying to get to the city council in early March. So if you need more time to make a final decision, then I think it's March 5th is our next council meeting where we need to go. So to buy us time. I do want to speak to one more thing, of course, about negotiations, about a management structure. And I just want to make it clear that when the group sat around, they said, Steve, you want to run this thing, don't you? You want to be responsible for it. It's not all fun, you got to understand. And it'll be under our books and awfully responsible for it. It's not something I can support, given my past experience over 40 years, that we have a management structure with a governing board for a recreation facility. I don't think we'll do that. I don't think it works well in that case. We have a jointly owned ice arena with the university. We have a rich history of partnerships in this county. Not so much with you all, but with other entities. Warren negotiated with me. The city of Ames, it's on our books. We're obligated to do it. And they help pay for the capital improvements in that. It's their operation. There's not a governing board over it. Now,
there's an advisory committee.
It's an advisory committee. And the school district, we actually have a swimming pool that's owned by the city. It sits at the high school. The school district pays 50% of the operations on that. We don't have a separate governing board for that. There's trust in that. The university pays us 25% of our fire department. We can't have an operating board over the fire department. In other words, in our structure, we have a city council, and to compound it a little bit more, in Parks and Recreation, we have a Parks and Recreation Commission, who's an advisory committee. I don't think this works well if we put three governing boards, so three layers of bureaucracy. Now, as having said that, I do believe that we need to have an advisory board, and you as a contributor, along with Heartland and the university and Mary Greeley, I think there will be an operating advisory board that would work with the director of Parks and Recreation to give input. but it would be totally inefficient and ineffective, I think, if we have to go through three boards to make a decision to run one facility. So I have a little bit of angst about that, but I think we can give you the input you want through an advisory board.
And that is, in me asking that, in part was because our attorney was here, in part because as long as it is a robust advisory board, and maybe even in whatever contract is written, that notes that if there comes a point when it seems like the Story County residents' interests are not being represented as a whole, that there could be difficulties with that. So I hear what you're saying about the layers. I don't think that comes very efficient myself. I ask because this is a huge, I think a higher than normal risk for everybody who's putting money into this with a huge operating deficit right up front. And there, your slide at least says operating expenses are expected to increase.
That's true, but I won't say.
Yeah, and so, depending on you, I just want to point out, this is a little higher risk.
But that's why I'm willing to recommend that we cap your risk. You will be capped from the downside and only take and have the ability to take advantage of the upside. That's a pretty good position for us.
For how long?
For as long as I live. For as long as we have this. I would think this is a...
I think it's reasonable.
It's forever. It's forever. That's the thing. You're being capped knowing that the costs are going to go up over the next 20 years.
Back to the timetable. As when you and I had an informal conversation there about you know, let us know. Okay.
Yep.
Picking the timing in fact has been impacted by the supervisor's schedule. Now, are you comfortable? Would you be comfortable or able to participate if we had another meeting before March 5th in by phone? I know you're.
Yeah. So I'm not able to. I'll be in Costa Rica next week, and I'm not able to participate. Costa Rica, and then I'm in Washington D.C. for NACO meetings on March 5th, and I've got meetings during the time during the morning on March 5th. But it's just up to you guys. I would ask if we're going to delay this, give Linda time to review the material she's gotten. Then I would just ask that we delay it until it'd be March 12th, which is budget hearing day anyway. But it sounds to me like that's about when you're thinking of going to the Ames City Council. Like I said, Steve, I'm ready to make the motion. I just don't know how making the motion is helpful right now, and so I'm looking to you guys for guidance.
Well, I want to convince the Board of Supervisors that our request is fair, equitable, and will be a benefit to all the citizens of Story County. It would be a great investment in this county. But whatever it takes time for people to become more comfortable with those numbers, then I think that's what I would recommend. I do want you to know we only have a city council meeting scheduled for the 7th, so I haven't scheduled anything for the 12th yet. I don't know if I'll have a council forum. I know Heartland is going to make a decision on what day is it? 28th. And
Mary Greeley 25th.
The 25th. So I'm not criticizing you at all. So that's what it takes.
Yes, Mr. Steve, I have a discussion item for us.
I was just going to make a comment that as far as you said fair and equitable, again, I understand the reasoning with the amount of your ask. I do understand that. I thought you did a really great job on the 31st of documenting that and about where those numbers came from, about how much the pool cost, and I took basically the pool plus the Heartland situation. So please don't feel bad at this. I am very concerned about the fiscal situation, financial situation, and that's where I feel at the 1.5 is that the county could still help support this and still meet other goals and needs and still have some room for anticipating in the future. So I'm done.
The question is, what is the option?
So I'll do my best to answer that one. I believe there's three basic options for us to fund X amount of upfront dollars, right? I'm going to call it $3 million because that's where I think we should be. We could use the TIF dollars. That does not require a vote of anybody other than us going through the process to go through to get that done. We could write a check out of our ending fund balances, but you guys have just spent a lot of time going through our general fund ending fund balance, and the reality is if we write $1 million a year out of that, we're going to get that below the 25% in a hurry that we need operations. And then the third way is a referendum of the people of Story County. I think it's problematic at best to have, in essence, two referendums, one for the city of Ames and then one for the entire Story County, including the city of Ames, trying to get something like this passed, so I didn't want to go down that road. And the final thing I'll say, and Morris, this is more back to your desired concept of utilizing some urban renewal funding for affordable housing. I do this square in economic development, and I'm talking about the healthy lifestyle. It is an economic development opportunity, and I think that makes it fit. I tend to favor a lot of the affordable housing concepts that I've heard come out. I just don't favor it going through the urban renewal dollars. I favor it coming from somewhere else.
So this is another discussion we need to have. Here is where, as we discussed, and because I do think it's a great idea, and I had kind of pushed aside as we start talking about the fact of the referendum. I agree it would be awkward. I would be much more inclined to go $3 million if we put it in front of our citizens. The feedback I continue to get from people outside of, I guess, where you are talking to people is not as positive. Most of it is indifferent. That is where I would be willing to look at. It's really at 1.5, I'm comfortable with the TIF option. At $3 million, maybe we do have to put it in front. And then that is, you know, one more. I agree with Rick. It becomes a difficult list for everybody.
Yeah, it'd be very cumbersome, that sense.
Yeah.
We're looking at an August 6th special election. I don't know what timing would be for you.
Is it possible to have both on the same ballot?
I don't know if the laws are the same. Your attorney left.
I'm thinking about how much a special election costs in person.
Our auditor, Lucy Martin, is in the back of the room. Would you care to come up and answer that?
Sorry, I was having a sidebar. I didn't hear your question. Do a standalone election for just a county special. You can do that. You could, if Ames has their special election on August 6th, which is the rumor I've heard, substantiated, you could piggyback on that and just get a portion of that. You could also put it on the combined school city election. Every voter in Story County will get a ballot. Piggyback on that. So those are the three options to do. It's all called a special election, even if it's not regularly scheduled. So a standalone election probably would cost you about $35,000. Probably do it cheaper, but if you start limiting hours and you start trying to do as few vote centers as possible, then people get worried that you're trying to game the system. Combined school city, every polling place in Story County is open, so 43 polling places. If Ames has a special election, I would do somewhere between 6 and 8 vote centers for them, plus you would probably have an additional maybe 10 vote centers out of the county. They'd be paying full freight on those outside of Ames.
And then if we're done with the school and city election,
still pay a portion of that.
Okay, but then we missed the deadline for the city, and that sounds like a pretty firm deadline for you guys.
let me tell you why. It's not just trying to be stubborn. We have before us the high school, the new high school is being built, and they're about, they will proceed the construction by tearing down our middle school pool. So we're trying to try as much as we can to condense that schedule so we can not have an opportunity, not have an instance when we'll have no indoor pool, recreation pool for the city. So we're trying to do as quickly as possible. I'm not even sure we can accomplish that under the having the election on in August. But the longer we wait, the more dangerous that is as far as having to close the pool and not having a recreation pool to play.
City of Angel also put their question on the city ballot. You could also put your question on in November.
Right. We're trying to get going.
They're trying to go sooner than that. So there are only certain dates in the year that the city can put a special election on the ballot.
This is back to the board.
May I speak, Morris?
Oh.
May I speak?
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I realize I don't have a card.
No, come to the microphone so we can record.
Yeah, please. Our sound system is very sensitive.
Right.
We get very close to it.
I'm Ann Campbell from Ames, the former mayor, and have been co-chairing the philanthropy drive for the last year. And one of the things that I want to say is that this is such a complex question with the six entities together that one of our challenges has certainly been, I did this as recently as yesterday, to try to explain how all of this fits together and is not a one-off of a swimming pool and a Heartland Senior Center, but an interrelated thing that was shown by Deb initially. I think this is why this is something that takes the leadership of the elected officials who have dug deeply into this for as long as you have. Getting for the city of Ames for a bond issue, getting this organized and getting people informed of the complexity, I have difficulty seeing how this can happen on a countywide basis in the time that we're talking about, but I can see, just in looking at all of us, the leadership that the supervisors can take, and I'm hoping to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming back to the board now, possibility of going, I can't get this $1 million. I was going to come for two, looking at maybe a combination of TIF or and taking a million from the fund balance. But that takes us two and a half at the moment. And just simply leadership also is recognizing when you're put in the financial position, you may end up making a decision that compromises. And that is leadership also. And that's where I'm stuck and struggling. And I don't think it means one type of leadership is worse or better than another one. It's trying to find that meet. And so I'm just not there yet. So we are back to, I think, the motion that would be made either by Supervisor Sanders for the full amount or me for a partial amount is likely not to be supported with a positive response. So we are looking at one thing, trying to bring Supervisor Murphy and give her the time that she needs. Looking at me, trying to look at numbers again. I mean, I right now.
I understand the struggle.
So, I would just ask that we hold this for our March 12th agenda, and we come back and revisit it. I would like the two of you to really take a look at the numbers, because I think they work, of using TIF, again, at $1 million a year in 20 and 21 and 22 to get us to $3 million. and then funding up to $200,000 in the deficit. It would be my intent to make that motion on the 12th, and I would just ask that you guys, the two of you, dig in and get whatever information you can to see if you can support a concept like that.
All right, it will be on the agenda on March 12th. That is the date of our budget hearing. So other information, help, I don't know if you can help me crunch my own budget numbers. I think that's, I'm looking to the back of the room, to the deputy auditor, Lisa Smiley. Okay, so but thank you all for coming this morning, for the time you've given, for the effort. I know that you have the entire county and the best for the people in the county at heart. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll now go back to taking care. We're now going to return or go now on to agency reports, and legal aid will report next week instead. So we'll move on to consideration of the minutes. However, there are no minutes to consider this week, so they will be on next week's agenda. There are no personnel actions either. So now looking at consideration of claims.
I move approval.
Second. Okay. Sanders?
Aye.
Durkin?
Aye.
Wilson? Aye. Next on the consent agenda, I would like to pull item number 12. Which is resolution 1985. This is the date for a public hearing on a loan agreement. Do I have a motion on the rest of the consent agenda?
Yeah, I'll move the rest of the consent agenda.
Sanders?
Aye.
Durkin?
Aye.
Wilson? Aye. On the reason I pulled item number 12 only has to do with the fact that the auditor notified me this morning that after the bond attorney looked at the resolution, the bond attorney made some minor adjustments. They're not significant, but the document that was put on the website is not the document that actually the bond attorney sent back. So the motion for that was the terms are all the same. Everything's the same, except that there's some wording changes in the non-essential parts of it. So would you be willing to take the motion? Take the motion on the intent of the document with the hearing date.
I would move that we approve resolution 1985 and that's by a bond.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Perfect.
Aye.
Standard. Aye. Aye. Thank you for that. Okay. There are no public hearing items. So now we are at item 11.1, and that is the legislative update about this House Study Bill 165. Now, as it's listed here on the agenda, it was to remove caps on general basic and rural basic levy rates and put in place a limit on property tax revenue based on the previous year's property tax revenue multiplied by a growth factor, and it's the effective 7/1/20. Supervisor Sanders, have you received any other information from the Iowa Association of Counties as a lobbyist?
Yes, wholeheartedly opposed. This is one of the areas where Association of Counties and League of Cities will be in complete agreement. I said earlier that this just goes ahead and drives the wooden stake into the forest that seems to be the concept of home rule. I don't think it's going to pass, but I think it's the fact that it's out there means we need to pay attention and take it seriously, especially since we haven't sent our budget for publication. And that's the reason, Morris, as soon as I got this, I forwarded on to you, and I suggested that we should talk about this today, because if there's a risk that they could pass this and we don't set this year's budget or at least give ourselves the opportunity to set this year's budget in as beneficial a way as possible, and that becomes our baseline year. Story County is going to pay for that for years to come.
I checked Lonnie's declarations on this bill, not yesterday, but I checked this my son got the bill. I didn't see anything from ISAC yet then, but I know Polk County supervisors were declared against it. There are several other agencies that just declared interested following. I can't remember what the term is. I would suggest that some of those folks, some of those associations get a little more active, and maybe we discuss with them getting more active about this, which I think is not a good thing. If I'm not sure that government agencies themselves, our associations really can pull up. I'm very concerned about it. 2 years ago, regardless of how you feel about collective bargaining, 2 years ago, we heard Chapter 20 was going to have minor tweaks to it. Chapter 20 pretty much got vetted in most people's minds. So I'm not ready to say this won't happen because many people say it's not like it. I think it has devastating influences on city and county government, and to the folks who benefit from government, and I think we need to get very strongly against.
I think I'll point out for whoever's listening and in the audience, there are a couple of key things that would change. The first, as stated here, is that counties would no longer have a capped general rural and rural levy and then add to the supplemental. Instead, it would be similar to how schools do it, about they get an allowable growth type, except rather than it coming from the legislature, it will be based on the median income of the Midwest region, of calculated by the Federal Reserve Bank out of, I believe, St. Louis. I might not be sure about the St. Louis part. That's about 78 million people that would have, that you would take the median income for. And you would compare it to the year before, take the difference and make that as a percentage. And then that's how much you could raise your taxes. So I went through and I looked at what was on the Federal Reserve site. And as an example, in 2017, the last year they have, and the difference between 2017 and 2016 was ended up being a 1.7% difference. So Story County would only be able to bring its levy up another 1.7%. The next thing that happens in there is they have a new term called a new net valuation, and no longer would counties be able to tax on the type of increased valuation that comes strictly from inflation or a great real estate market. Instead, it would be either new construction, it would be actually remodeling that was significant enough to require permits, the difference in the value of that, or on TIF money that would be relayed from valuation that has been pulled to go to like a TIF agreement. And then there was another type of contract in there I was not familiar with. But I mean, so we're talking about here that valuations in a county like Story County, where we have roughly 7% this year increase, that wouldn't be true anymore. It'd be only what had stick built or something done to it. All right, built on it, property improved, visibly requiring a permit. So it's quite a bit of difference. The third thing in here is, while it's only suggested in this bill, would be that there be that county spend their reserves down at the max of 25%. So this is quite a significant bill as presented, because it would change. If it all went through, it would change how counties budget, how counties assess.
Thank you.
And if I could add something yes. to the third point,
uh-huh.
is the 25% annual balance is necessary for cash flow for the next fiscal year because property taxes are not due until the end of September. So you need a very minimum 25% cash flow account.
Again, it penalizes those entities that are doing a reasonable job of budgeting and saving and planning ahead. You know, if you look at our capital improvement program, trying to really plan ahead multiple years, even down to our engineer, trying to make sure that we're mapping out a way to pay for the things that we need is appropriate. I just looked, Linda, ISAC, the assessor's affiliate, the auditor's affiliate, and the supervisor's affiliate are all insured against this.
Right. And I'd just like to clarify that on that 25% balance, if you have, in fact, assigned or committed funds, that's okay to go over 25. They're talking about having unassigned, uncommitted funds over 25%. So, if we don't have any more comments about that, we could go on to talk about sending the fiscal year budget to publication, which brings up the point why we're discussing this, is do we want to make any changes to the budget that we thought we had reached, kind of a publication conclusion on at least, given the fact, as Supervisor Sanders said, we need to make sure that we have positioned ourselves well in case this would happen to make it all the way into law, and that we would be changing, starting with fiscal year 20. There's even a section that says how you go ahead and convert from 19 to 20 in this bill, to ascertain that we are still able, with these new restrictive percentages, possibly restrictive, to pay the bills. I will turn it over to Lisa Markley to present what we have worked on so far.
Thanks. So the budget that I put in front of you for proposed for publication and hand back out this afternoon gives us an increase of expenses of 9.4%, revenues of 5.1% over the original FY19 budget. We are budgeting to incur new debt for FY20. For four large paving projects in secondary roads and the 911E9103. We do have dollars earmarked in this budget for CIP projects and are in the process of quite a few of them. Overall, this levy rate goes up by 0.022 cents. Proposed rate is $5.06 for countywide and $8.27 for rural. We would be at, county, the MHCS levy is also 9,146 higher than last year, which is set by the regional board. I might add that the regional board sets the levy and also is struggling with the 25% maximum the legislature has put on them. In this, the general supplemental ending fund balance proposal is 29%. Combine the two funds. And the rural fund is at 13.5%, MHCD is 60, and secondary roads at 34. So if we send it to the paper this week, like I put in the schedule, it will be published on the 28th for a public hearing meeting. At that point in time, you can either lower it, you cannot raise any of the service areas or the rate.
Thank you. On what you've actually, the official document for publication, it does show here that we're pulling $1.4 million out of our reserves, correct, to cover all the expenses that we anticipate.
That is for all funds, all budgetary funds.
Okay. All right. How are we on operating expenses versus revenue expenses?
Well, our original, the proposal is not any different than what we last talked about at a meeting.
Okay.
Our actual levying dollars, I think that's what you're asking for.
Correct.
Our expenses are $1,400, $1,500 less than our revenue. not counting all of the trust and agency and permanent funds.
So I don't know how to do that much
closer here. Right, okay. I'm going to open up to the board for questions or comments.
We can, our public hearing roller.
Yeah.
Publish for me.
Yes.
Can we, any time after that, lower the publish
no.
rate? No?
No, you are certifying the budget at that point.
So
you can
we
lower.
Will not know yet at that point what the legislature is going to do at the time. We have to certify our budget. If they do not put the restrictions on, and now Senate Bill 165, correct? If they don't put those restrictions on, then we have a, we're basically collecting the revenue when we need to. There's nothing we can do about it. If we don't change the rate, we could be in a great acquisition.
Yeah, that's what I would just say. We're in a very bad position either way. I mean, if they pass this, we're in a bad position either way. We're just in a less immediately bad position if we maximize tax revenue this year. Right, if everything's going to be based on that, then incrementally, every little bit that you adjust that for the 20 budget year, it helps you in the out years. In essence, what we would be doing, Linda, if we go down that path is we would be budgeting to collect more taxes than we feel like we need in order to set a baseline that's more
effective.
Exactly.
Here's
an IEC
taxpayers. Excuse me. That being, we can explain that. I think something that would be very difficult to understand. Why did you do that? I'm just trying to think of. We have so much on our plate, and this is why in our previous discussion, I was not ready to vote. We have so much on our plate here that are essential services that we need to make sure to modernize, keep up to date with that. Bridges, we've got interoperability for emergency responders. We've just got too many things there that we have to think about. And I think we need to protect our government. Take care of our residents.
What? Tell me what that means.
I think we need to publish one.
Are you suggesting, so we had an earlier draft that had an additional 17 cents in the supplemental and an additional 17 cents in the rural? Is that what you're suggesting, or are you suggesting something different?
It was a total 20 cents, so it was 10 and 10. Okay, so additional 7 cents. Well, I was hoping to do something a little bit less. I'm not concerned about the rural, both in the unincorporated areas, especially in Fulton.
Sure, but this is publication. This is not ultimately what, necessarily, what we're going to approve. We can always look.
But it's published.
There is a difference. As we discussed when we originally, when the first draft came to us with the 10 cents additional levy for the supplemental general and 10 cents additional for the rural, is we discussed that that will be quite a shock for people to look at. We, the last few, 2 years at least, that since I've been on the board, we've been able to lower the general fund, I believe, or keep it within a penny or so, and then the rural fund, I believe there was no change in it for the last couple of years. In fact, several years it has been, the rural has really had a change, and so that would be a significant change to everybody at 10 cents up. And so I understand that that would be of great concern to the citizens, and I do feel sometimes once we publish
if increased likelihood we might stay there. I'm not saying it wouldn't when we have the budget discussion on March 12th, but it's an increased likelihood. It definitely is a perception in the people's mind. So positioning us fell, I think, somewhere in between is maybe the place you want to be. Is that right, Senator? Supervisor.
Lisa was extremely helpful and worked very, very hard on the numbers we have in front of us, which we thought were good and the best we could do. So I would ask, do you have any other thoughts? Would you like to share with
them? I will publish however you want me to publish. Basically, what we're talking about is the only thing that's really going to change is the fund balances. You know, we're not changing the expenses, we're not changing any of those items. So it's going to be the levy rate and the fund balance, which I'm happy to run whatever you want me to run for that.
And we got more room than that, right? We could go higher than that in supplemental. I'd be able to justify it. We could go higher than that in fuel service and justify it. And I'm not questioning what people are going to think, but please underscore what our job is, right? Our job is to do the best we can for Story County, and given the uncertainty, depending on how much credence you put in the concept of HSB 165 actually moving ahead and actually becoming law, I think we are responsible to have as much flexibility on March 12th as we possibly can, and that's the hard decision, right? The only decision now is how many phone calls we're going to get because we publish high. But we're not locking our, and you can say, Loris, that we're locking, you know, sometimes that's thick. It's still up to the three of us. We still get a vote, and I'm going to say this. With this year's methodology behind budgeting and priorities that this board seems to have, we're not going to do any better than this budget that's in front of us. This we have gotten down as tight as we can, but we're also limiting our flexibility if things move ahead of the state. And I would suggest that we be as brave as we can possibly be and give ourselves as much flexibility while we see over the next 2 weeks how this thing moves, and then we have a hard conversation on March 12th, depending on how it's moving.
I see that. And originally, as we worked through this budget process, the 10 and 10 was the amount that I think two of us had supported as far as the publication amount. I appreciate that Supervisor Martin and everybody, Auditor Markley, worked so hard to give us a different version by moving some expenses into different sources of tape for that. I'll go along with the suggestion that we do the 10 and 10 again. Take the phone calls and try to explain to people that this is just in case we end up in March 12th with this proposal that was the state moving forward and not having been killed yet. This is the number to be published because we can always go lower, but we can't go any higher. Not that we would necessarily want to. But so we're opting for the most liberal number for publication as we look and see what may happen down at the State House in the next actually 3 weeks. That will be 3 weeks, March 12th. Will be to see if, in fact, it still is killed.
I'm going to go higher.
Sure.
conservative here. We are not maxed out in what's appropriate to spend out of supplemental, and we're not maxed out in what's appropriate to spend out of rural. I think it gets really problematic, Linda, if we go a whole lot higher than that.
I do too. I just wanted to make that point, and I think we talked about the 10 cents before, so I'm comfortable with that. But let's remember that this is a ways and means bill, revenue bill, funnel, doesn't matter on this. It could happen at any time, too. So we'll be taking a gamble at some point.
Right. In my mind, you kick the can down the road as far as you can before you have to make a decision. If you're going to make that decision, I think, rough math, we're talking about an additional, $300,000 in revenue, thereabouts. And again, it is just if we think that that's going to be our baseline in perpetuity, you want that additional $300,000.
Right. It doesn't. It does not come from that proposal. It just gives us some.
Right.
Gives us a year that gives us.
I think it was interesting that they looked at property tax limitations, property tax limitations. And does anybody talk about the fact that 50% of your local property taxes are the school districts? They're already under the loan program.
And how's that working?
Yeah. Many thoughts here. I don't think we're supporters of this bill.
It would be nice to put together a quick summary of it. And you did a very good job on the points that I'm putting in the bill to do a quick summary of that. So when we are contacted, we can give people the information and say, if you don't like this, if you understand the needs that we have, and what percentage of our budget is roads and bridges, what percentage of our budget is public safety, what percentage of our budget is essential services.
I think, did we not get there?
Yeah, well, so I'd even say it's worse than that. It is what percentage of our budget is personnel cost. And in essence, if you're saying that you're only going to allow growth, and I'm going to call it 2%, but you're only going to allow growth of 2%, and we know that we've got union contracts, but beyond that, right, because we've got steps in there. Now, all of a sudden, you're having to either cut services or cut staff in order to make your budget work every year at 2%, especially if you're a county or a city that budgets reasonably and has growth in valuation of existing property. The new property doesn't matter quite so much, but the existing property does.
I think it's good to say, help people understand that cutting staff is cutting services.
And one of the things Lucy and I had a conversation about briefly is the fact that one would hope that IUPAC would pull all the numbers together and present that at some point in time, because they have all of the numbers available to them as to what all the counties are levying, where the fund balances are. I mean, They gather that information, the financial information every year. So I would hope that they would be able to. As I've made comments, I think all three of you individually, the overarching part of this bill is the fact that it takes away control. It's just because of all your control over, as it does the city, as it does any other elected.
I'm glad to put saying that they need the most control because they obviously
I like the suggestion, I agree with it, from Supervisor Merkin, that we get some key facts that want to pull together quickly for us to talk to people or email to people who are questioning this increase that we'll be publishing. So, Lisa, would you be willing to work with and maybe Alyssa and Deb to pull those together? And I'm looking at Alyssa and Deb to ask if that's something within their budgeting and their time frame they'd be able to do, and to pull that kind of a summary together on some of that. I don't know. I'm looking. Okay, I see a nod from Deb. Thank you. Alyssa, that works. All right. From you? All right. Thank you. The three of you. Working on that, I agree with the suggestion. So we now
I have a motion after 10 and 10?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? Murphy?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. All right, let's go ahead and move forward. And I see Jody Brogdon sitting there in the back of the room. And he's coming up to discuss a couple of items. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. First item is overhang Justice Center, and we from that budgeted for FY20 to have it removed. I'm starting to deteriorate. Plus, the work sessions we discuss as we move forward to FY20. This is your question, funds. Sorry.
You go.
That's all. Just
yeah, I'll move it to go ahead and get take care of the overhang for you.
Second. Okay. Discussion? None. Sanders?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. On to the next
one. Right, second, I have the Iowa Network Against Human Trafficking and Slavery. Asked to put some stickers in our restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We looked at it. Yeah, I would move that we go ahead and display the signage for Iowa Network Against Human Trafficking.
Okay. Great discussion. Thank you. Olson. So thank you. Thank you for putting those up.
Thank you.
Good morning, Amelia. Good morning. Let's talk about some requests for subdivisions. Okay. So the first one here, let us go ahead and walk us through it, and I appreciate the kind of a condensed version. You guys always do such a good job, like I said in the email.
We've got a condensed version.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yep. So the first one is an agricultural subdivision. It's the A&W subdivision. And let's see here. I just have a picture to show you. That's what I'm trying to pull up. Okay, so like I said, it's the A&W, farm subdivision, agricultural subdivision, so it is zoned A1 agricultural, future land use of ag conservation and natural area. This is the parcel. You can see the grain bin located in the northwest corner. The subdivision is proposed to divide the grain bins onto lot one so that they can be sold to the current farmer that rents the land. It's my understanding that he would like to make an improvement, add a dryer to the grain bins and use them in his farming operation. So they decided to buy the property outright rather than having the current owner make those improvements while he rented the land. Both properties do have frontage on Iowa Highway 210. And there is one adjacent parcel that contains a single family dwelling to the west. Otherwise, it's agricultural parcel. I'll skip over applicable regulations. We did send notices to property owners within a quarter mile. Received two property owners reached out, and they had concerns about the future use of the land, if this could result in, you know, an animal feeding operation located there or other development. So we did again reach out to the property owners just to confirm the plan was just to sell off that lot one with the grain bin so that improvements could be made. We also received a waiver of their review of the subdivision from the city of Cambridge, which is located under 2 miles away. And so points to consider. The primary goal of the subdivision is to divide off the grain storage system from the farmland and continue farming the land. The subdivision meets all requirements and standards for agricultural subdivisions. Any additional divisions of the lot are not permitted unless the entire subdivision is considered for planning purposes. And we did receive an easement for the South Skunk River tributary on the property as part of the proposed subdivision. The recommendation is alternative one approval as proposed.
Board. Any follow-up questions?
I move approval of 1978.
Second. Sander?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Okay, that is the resolution 1978 is approved, and we'll move on to the next request.
Okay, so this is a residential parcel subdivision. So it is zoned A1 agricultural. CTC plan designation is again ag conservation and natural area. There is an existing dwelling. You can see it's systems, these buildings right here. And the intent is to put a second dwelling up here for property owner's daughter. So you can see this divide, it reconfigures the two lots so that a dwelling may be built in this area. They both will have road frontage on 570th Avenue. You can see there's floodplain and several easements, including for the Dakota Access Pipeline, some utility transmission line easements, and the City of Huxley's wastewater and water treatment plant is located south, so there is an affluent outlet. So that's kind of what you see on the flat here. Skip over the applicable regulations. We notified property owners within a quarter mile. We did have one property owner come in just to inquire about what was being proposed. And then the City of Cambridge and Huxley did also review this request. And so points to consider, all requirements are met. Just an adjustment of the boundary between the two existing parcels to allow a family member to start a new dwelling. It is designated as agricultural conservation. That's a residential parcel subdivision. Requirements are designed to preserve agricultural land in that no future divisions can occur and just one dwelling is being constructed because there is an existing dwelling. There is floodplain on the property, so any development would require a floodplain permit if it was located in that area. And we did also receive, I believe, an easement for Ballard Creek on the property to protect that. So that would be our recommendation is alternative one, approval.
Board, any questions?
I move approval resolution 1979.
Second. Sander?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Right. Duty. Well, so, yes. Right? Next on the agenda is discussion and consideration of procedure for board and commission appointments. I see that Jeff Schildroff is here, and Alyssa must have stepped out of the room. Did Jeff, you want to just handle it, or you want to go grab Alyssa first? Okay.
So through the board direction from the January 29th meeting, Liz and I worked on putting together a procedure for the board and commission appointments, so that is before you, and I believe it's up to you some questions.
I did, and the first question is under the application review and interview process, and we had had a discussion here at the table about allowing a member or members of the applicable board or commission to sit in on an interview with a supervisor. And that is not here, and I was wondering if you perceived some problems with that from either a logistics standpoint or another issue.
No, I think we just inadvertently had forgotten about that part. I think there could be logistical some concerns with it, just matching up schedules, locations, that kind of thing. But we certainly put that out there.
Let me ask you this. The administrative assistant or the individual board member is scheduling but it doesn't make any kind of concession, unless it's a voluntary one on the board or the supervisor's part, to say, hey, yeah, I'll try to schedule so you can come too, say to the chair of that particular board position. Do you think that would help alleviate the problem so that the administrative assistant who would be helping the supervisor schedule would not have to be worrying about including another person? It would just be if that particular board member or board chair could come to
an interview. Would that thing should just take care of it if we don't require a supervisor to schedule an appointment to accommodate a board or commission chair or other person?
Well, we haven't done this before, so The cautionary statement I put out there for one of the boards and commissions specifically asked that is that chairperson rotates amongst funders.
Sure.
So, I mean, right now the upcoming chair will be a Story County representative. So they may be interested when we're looking at a new volunteer for the county. But if the chair for asset ends up being a city representative or a United Way representative, I don't know if the interest level is going to be.
Sure.
Okay. All right. But I wanted to make sure that was on the record.
So maybe a designated member of the applicable board of commission may sit in on an interview with that individual supervisor's approval. So that it gives the option to host, but not mandatory.
I mean, it could be as simple as you just send out an invite and say, this is when I'm having it, if you want to participate.
Okay.
Is there, I mean, I don't think the board would have to reschedule their interview
good.
On the basis
okay.
of
that. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
If you give them the opportunity to attend, and they could attend any of the board members, you know.
Okay.
I think it could be as simple as, hey, this is when I'm having this interview. If you want to come, great. If you're not able to, maybe you can have a follow up with them.
Right. Do you think we could just put that sentence in there? Supervisors may invite members of the applicable board or commission.
I mean, we can. We have to be careful, though, not to create a forum.
I got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, if we could add that sentence, that would probably address some of the concerns out there and still give each supervisor the independence that we discussed earlier and his or her own way of handling everything. So that was my first one. And then the second one under discussion and consideration of appointments, I thought about the conversation more and thought that Supervisor Sanders had a couple of good points about why if the chair nominates, the chair to provide a nominee, that doesn't mean that person will be the nominee, because failing a second, that person would not move forward, but it did seem to make more sense from kind of an order standpoint. So I wanted to bring that back before the board and find out Supervisor Sanders, do you still support that you feel it would be advantageous to have the chair select a nominee?
Yeah, so it's the only thing I really feel strong about all of this. I mean, everything else is fine. I don't like the visual of we have five people applying for a position on board or commission, and we get to the date and it says consideration of appointment, and we've got all five of them sitting right here, and I think it just creates angst where there doesn't need to be any. I believe strongly that this is the responsibility of our board chair, and if the other two board members disagree, we can handle it. But I think it rests with the board chair.
Thank you. And that's kind of where I ended up visualizing this more along the same line with you, given the experiment we had with the VA commission, with them all being here, and it not really being
sure. The one item that I would like to mention, I would not gather information from the other two board members.
Absolutely not.
So it would be based only on the chair's interviews and your information, or whoever the chair is, what they gather. The other two will not have input until it is an item that's brought to the board probably that Tuesday morning agenda. Otherwise, we will have a.
So there should be public discussion.
There could be, and the other two board members could.
Supervisors and financial.
That's why we wrote it, so
like
we
this.
Get on here.
Right. It's possibly have an item to discuss and then have a motion.
Right.
It's however you want to handle it. I mean, the board chair can put that out there. The other two board members can disagree on who that is. And
correct.
Make
right.
a different motion at the Tuesday morning.
At the Tuesday morning.
Yeah,
sure.
We just don't want any discussion or deliberation going on amongst the board outside of that meeting.
Is that something that you can work with?
Okay.
So if get a motion of those changes to include the changes or anything else.
What did you write down for the change?
Well, I know that above under the application review interview that we would be adding a statement that was, an invitation would be extended to commission members to participate in the interview. And then under discussion and consideration of appointments that would be the board chair that would be making a recommendation for appointment.
We can approve it now or it can come back
next week. Yeah.
And the changes have been made.
I'm willing to make motions to approve to change.
Yeah, I'll second, and I just want to note that the invitation, while it's completely appropriate for the other two supervisors to also invite, I believe the board chair needs to be the one or either making the invitation or having the invitation made for them, that's the interview that's most appropriate for somebody from the board or commission to sit in.
I agree with that. Okay, all right,
we
got the motion.
Second.
Okay, Burkin?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. We're adjourned.